Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're continuing to see the story of Joseph, revealing his true identity to his brothers. The message is called, I Am Joseph, Your Brother, as we go back to basics.
Verse 19, when they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, so we brought it back in our hand. And we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. Now listen to this. But he said, this is Joseph's servant, he said, Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasures in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. So this whole thing has got to be completely confusing to them. You know, they're guilty. They're thinking, oh no, this is it. We're going in there and, you know, we're going to end up in prison. We're going to end up slaves the rest of our life. And then, you know, trying to, oh, hey, this money, we don't know how it turned up. And the guy says, oh, the Lord put it in there. The God of your father. And this is an Egyptian talking to them. But the interesting thing, I think, is that you see here, Joseph must have had a tremendous spiritual influence on some of the Egyptians. This guy's speaking about not the Egyptian gods, but he's speaking about the true God, the God of Jacob, the God of your father. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Remember those dreams. Then he asked them about the well-being, their well-being, and said, Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they answered, Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. So it could have been a considerable amount of time. Some commentators estimate maybe even a couple of years since they had left and left Simeon. Maybe not that long, but evidently a period of time did transpire. And they answered, Your servant, he's in good health. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes, Joseph, and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now remember, Joseph was 17 when he was sold by them into slavery. And Benjamin was probably at least 10 years younger than Joseph. So the last time he would have seen Benjamin, he would have been a kid of about 7 years old, maybe. And so Joseph is laying eyes upon Benjamin for the first time now in 20 years. And he just, it's almost like he just bursts forth, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. and he went into his chamber and he wept there. Oh, this is just so touching. You know, I don't know for you, but you know, when I read it, I get all weepy. You know, I'm just like, oh, this is so. You know, there he is, and you know, look at the love though that Joseph has. I mean, these guys were scoundrels. These guys sold him. They wanted to kill him, but then they sold him. Didn't care about him at all. Hated him. But there he is, and as he's there with them, and as he's seeing their anxiety over all of this, and then laying eyes on Benjamin, it's all just too much for him emotionally. So he washed his face, and he came out, and he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself and them, his brothers, by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. So Joseph had them seated according to their age, beginning with the oldest down to the youngest. Now, Henry Morris said, he's the kind of guy who liked to calculate things. He said that if you took these 11 guys, you could come up with 40 million different possibilities of seating for them. So the chance that you could get them seated in order would be 1 in 40 million. So these guys are rightly astonished. Something weird is going on here as they look around the room and they realize they're seated in order. Of course, Joseph is orchestrating all of this. Now, the thing that we have to see here too is Joseph is actually doing something. He has a plan here. And what Joseph is in the process of doing is really, he's trying to ascertain as to whether or not these guys have changed. Are they the same wicked, cruel bunch of guys that they were previously, or has 20 years softened their hearts? Are they different? And this whole thing has been orchestrated by Joseph as a test to see where they're really at. And so he took the servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was 5 times as much as any of theirs, so they drank and were merry with him. So Joseph, now remember, Jacob did what? He showed favoritism to Joseph. Joseph is now showing favoritism to Benjamin. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph, and these men hated Joseph for it. Joseph is showing favoritism to Benjamin, and no doubt he was looking to see their reaction to that. But they passed the test. There was no envy. There was no jealousy. They drank, and they were merry with him. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also, put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money." So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. So everything is great. These guys, all of their fears were unfounded. It seems to them now, nobody, you know, put them in prison. They didn't steal their donkeys. They didn't execute them. They, you know, they had a great dinner with Joseph, and they were given an abundance, and they were sent back on their way. Now, when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up and follow the men. And when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks, with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in doing so. So it's the cup, remember, that they're referring to here. So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And he said to him, "Why does my Lord say these things? Far be it from us that your servant should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house?" These guys are saying, this is ridiculous. We haven't stolen anything. They said, with whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. They are so absolutely confident that this is a mistake. They're saying, kill the one that you find with this thing if you think we've got it, and then the rest of us will be your slaves. And he said, now also, let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest and left off with the youngest. So think about this. I mean, you know, there's these 11 guys. They're absolutely confident. This is a case of, you know, they're mistaken. Hey, if you find it with somebody, kill them, and the rest of us will be your slaves. They were so confident that they were not guilty of this. And so beginning with Reuben, right on through the 10, no cup in anybody's sack. And then, of course, Benjamin would never do anything like that. Our little brother, he wouldn't steal a thing. No doubt that's what's going on in their heads. And then Benjamin's sack is opened, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Oh. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this that you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?" Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? Listen, God has found out the iniquity of your servants." What's he talking about? He's talking about the incident 20 years earlier. And Judah is relating all that's happening to them now as the judgment of God upon them for what they did to Joseph. So it's a good thing, because what he's essentially doing is confessing that they had sinned. That's what he's doing. Now, notice we've had two references to divination here. Divination, it was believed in the ancient world and still among some people that you can discern the future or tell the future through certain things. And in the case with a cup, there were those that believed by the swirling of wine in a cup and watching its movements, you could predict the future. Now, remember, Joseph was a man who was a prophet. He interpreted dreams. He got into the position that he was in because he was able to tell Pharaoh the meaning of his dream. So Joseph had amongst the Egyptians this reputation as being a seer. Now, they interpreted that as divination. Joseph was not into divination. He would not have been at all, because that was part of occultic, idolatrous type of religion. And, of course, Joseph was worshiping the true God. But Joseph, of course, is going along with all of this because he doesn't want to blow his cover as an Egyptian. He's going to press this thing all the way to the end, and it's essential all the way to the very end that they think that he is just who they think he is, this Egyptian lord who is powerful, second only to Pharaoh, and who has these divining powers even. But here's Judah. "God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." But Joseph said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." This is the big test right here. This is the big test, because Joseph is saying, you guys can go free. You don't have to stay here. I'll keep Benjamin. And you guys can go free. Are they going to do that? Do they have the same attitude toward Benjamin that they had toward Joseph? They didn't care about him. Didn't matter what happened to him. They didn't care about Jacob previously. They didn't care about how their report of Joseph having died would crush Jacob. Are they still the same? So you see, again, this is all planned by Joseph. He's actually testing them at this moment to see if they've had a genuine change of heart. So Judah came near and said, now remember, if you go back in the story, Judah was the one who suggested to sell Joseph into slavery. They originally were going to kill him. And remember, Reuben said, no, you know, we can't kill him. And Reuben was actually trying to get a way to, you know, sort of rescue him at a later point. But Judah was the one who stood up and said, you know, we can't kill him. He's our brother. His blood will be on our head. Let's sell him. But now, look at Judah. He's done a complete turnaround. And look what happens with him here. Judah came near to him and said, O my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young. His brother is dead. That's you, Joseph. And he alone is left of his mother's children. And his father loves him. His father loves him. So Jacob's love was set on Benjamin. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord, and our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my hair, my gray hair, with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became, he's speaking of himself, for the lad, a surety to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up to or with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? So Judah, and he's really speaking as the representative of the rest of the brothers, you can see here is a complete change of heart. The man who sold Joseph into slavery is now saying, I will be your slave forever. Just let Benjamin go. And you see how this beautiful transformation has occurred in his life over this long process. Now, interestingly, what Judah is doing here is a foreshadowing of what Christ would do later. And this is perhaps why, or maybe there's a connection as to why the Messiah would come from Judah rather than even from Joseph or from Reuben, of course, who, you know, was the firstborn. But here we see as Judah is basically offering his life in exchange for Benjamin, he is a type of Christ who offered his life in exchange for our lives. So we see the picture coming through here. But again, with Judah and with these other men, you see how God worked with them and how over this period of time, God was humbling them and breaking them and changing them to where now they really are true men. They're honest men. They've borne the guilt of their sins, and they've acknowledged their sin. And now there's a blessing coming. I wonder if in those 20 years, even though they bore the guilt for those years, I wonder if they ever really came to the place of really confessing. Maybe not. But they certainly did here, because through this whole incident, they keep coming back to the same thing. This is God's judgment. We are guilty. This is because God has found out our iniquity. And you know, as you know, but I'll remind you again, God will convict us and he will make us miserable and we will feel guilty. But the moment we repent, everything changes. The moment we come clean with the Lord, everything changes. And that is really the thing that always makes the difference when it comes to sin. You know, some people sin, and when they're faced with their sin, when they're confronted with their sin, when their sin is exposed, they still try to deny it. Or in some cases, they try to blame somebody else for what they've done. They won't take full responsibility. And the person who does that, you know what? They never can move on. They're stuck. They can't go anywhere. There's no ability for God to bless. And they stay stuck in that sin. And generally speaking, they just go deeper and deeper into sin and into bitterness and hardness. But when a person comes to that place of just taking full responsibility and saying, Lord, I sinned. Forgive me. I am wrong. And I confess that it's my fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my husband's fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's not my neighbors or my bosses or, you know, whoever else. It's nobody's fault but my own. When a person takes that responsibility, that's when real forgiveness comes, and that's when restoration begins, and that's when you can move ahead with the Lord again. But I'm amazed at how many people refuse to do that.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called I Am Joseph, Your Brother, and the resource number is B0050. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.